I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Panthers Insider, an in-depth preview of the week.
Kishani scores!
On the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Here's the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Here we welcome into another exciting edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you. Dan Day behind the glass, bringing you lots of Panthers hockey info over the course of the next hour. We've got lots to get to. Early game today. Panthers have a matinee game here in Nashville. I'm coming to you live from Music City here today. It'll be the Panthers and the Nashville Predators this afternoon, 2 o'clock Eastern time, 1:30 Panthers preview across the radio network. You want to join us for that, 96.5 WPOW FM HD2, your place to tune in Miami-Dade and Broward counties, 1230 The Gambler, as always in the Palm Beaches, 100.3 Thunder Country in the Florida Keys. The NHL app makes it so easy to tune in, SiriusXM app and streaming channel 932. If you have that, lots of different places to consume Panthers hockey, and it's going to be a big one. They're all big ones the rest of the way. Panthers play in their last game outside the Eastern time zone in the regular season. So that's a nice little scheduling perk for this team that's had such a grueling grind of it schedule-wise through the first chunk of the season, but they're going to be home a lot coming down the stretch. And the first of those home games down the stretch will be Monday when the Panthers get back home to take on Anaheim. It's a 1 o'clock face-off at FLA Live Arena. Yes, 1 in the afternoon. FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. And then Friday, the Panthers will be home against the Buffalo Sabres. That's a big game that has certainly wild card implications. FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets to that. And a lot of folks, you heard it, they play Monday, they play Friday, they don't play Saturday, Sunday next week. So a lot of folks been wondering, when are the other teams going to catch up in games played? The Panthers at 58, tied for the most games played in the National Hockey League. Well, the schedule lightens up a little bit here in the next couple of weeks. That's when these other teams are going to start to get closer to the Panthers games played total. But just to illustrate it, Panthers going into today's game, 62 points, 28, 24, and 6 in 58 games. They are 1 point behind both Pittsburgh and the Islanders, who have the wild card spots currently. Now, Pittsburgh does have 4 games in hand on the Panthers. The Islanders, they've played the same number of games the Panthers have. Washington, who has the same point total as the Panthers, 1 fewer game played. They play today. The Red Wings, who are 2 points behind the Panthers, 4 games in hand on the Panthers, they play today. So there's a lot that can happen in the standings today. But if the Panthers get a win in Nashville and maybe a couple of bounces to go their way across the rest of the league, there's a chance they could find themselves back into one of those playoff spots by day's end. So lots to follow, folks, today across the National Hockey League, across the Eastern Conference, and specifically this Eastern Conference wildcard race. Coming up here at Panthers Insider, next segment, Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast. You hear him in the second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast. He's going to stop by to preview today's game in Nashville, talk about the week that was, and talk all things Panthers with us. Coming up later on in the program, speaking of Jameson, he and I had a chance to catch up with one of the Panthers prospects, 6th-round pick a couple of years back, Jakob Kos. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to hear that conversation from a recent edition of the Panthers Pipeline podcast. So we're going to revisit that coming up. Great conversation with the 19-year-old prospect Jakob Kos coming up later on in the program. He's had a nice professional season playing over in Finland and had a nice tournament as well at the World Juniors not too long ago. So we're going to revisit that conversation coming up later on in the show. But let's get to the week that was. Lots to get to from the last week of Panthers hockey. The Panthers hit the road, began their trip back on Monday. They're finishing off a 4-game road trip today, but Monday they kicked off the trip with a 2-1 shootout win at the Minnesota Wild, and here's how that one sounded right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Cousins shakes free, has it over on the far side, out to the line. It's taken by Forsling. Long shot trickles through. He scores, and the Panthers are on the board. 1-0, 17:54 left in the second. Gus Forsling with a long-distance point shot, and it trickled through, and the Panthers strike first. Anton Lundell drifts way off to the right, brings it in on the forehand, top of the circle to the hash marks, makes a move. Backhand, he scores. Anton Lundell. And the shootout is tied. Barkov will go left to right across your radio. Gives the stick a twirl, and here he goes. Barkov, stick handles in, straight in, splits the circles, backhand down low, he scores! Barkov has given the Panthers the lead in the shootout. And he maneuvers way off to the right, does a lot of stick handling over there, back between the circles, through that right circle, couple of moves, shot, and he's stopped by Bobrovsky with the blocker, and the Panthers win it! 2-1 the final in the shootout! And the Panthers kick off the road trip with a 2-1 shootout win here in Minnesota.
Big win for the Panthers on the road against the Minnesota Wild back on Monday. That was 2-1 in a shootout, the final. So the Panthers kicked off their road trip in a big way, got the win. One night later in St. Louis, not their night, fell to the Blues back on Tuesday evening. But then what was billed as the biggest game of the season for the Panthers, and we're probably going to say that a handful of times heading down the stretch here, but Thursday the Panthers went into Washington, and a lot of folks calling it the biggest game of the season for each of the two teams. The Panthers responded, rose to the occasion in a big way, and picked up a 6-3 win over Washington on the road Thursday. Here's how that one sounded on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Around here on the near side by Kemper, doesn't get it out. Verhaeghe to the near circle, Luostarinen, and off to the far circle. A shot, they score! Gus Forsling out of the left circle, and the Panthers have a 1-0 lead. What puck movement there on the offensive end. Gus Forsling walking in, had time, had space, picked his spot, and the Panthers have a 1-0 lead. Off the end boards, Verhaeghe pressured on the far side. Gets a pass out the line. Montour over Mark Stahl. Long shot, he scores! Mark Stahl through traffic! And the Panthers take a 2-0 lead. That one found its way through Mark Stahl's first as a Panther. And it comes at a big time to get the Panthers the 2-0 advantage here in the second period. Now a chance in front, Farivari fanned on it. Back come the Panthers. Here's Lundell up the wing in front to an open man. Colin White walks in, backhand top shelf, he scores! And the Panthers take a 3-0 lead. Colin White got behind the defense. Anton Lundell put a pass right on his tape. And White walked in, went to the backhand, and went upstairs to beat Kemper. It's 3-0 Panthers here in Washington. Play it in, but back come the Capitals quickly. McElrath, Kuznetsov in front. He just put it over the stick of Snively. Now a drive from the outside, and that one blocked as Farivari tried to rip it on net. 2-on-1, back the other way. Up the right side, a shot, and they score. Barkov out of the right circle, beats Kemper down low, and the Panthers have the 3-goal lead back on their side. It's 4-1. Anton Lundell, he'll be bumped on the near wall. Doesn't get a shot away against the empty net. Pass up the ice, and it's taken away. Reinhardt, Lundell to Reinhardt again. Reinhardt, a shot in that one from Lundell. So he gave it back to Lundell. Bounced off the goalpost. Now a battle in front, and they score. And it's Anton Lundell, an empty netter off a scramble in front of the Washington goal. And he's able to get the Panthers back up by a pair with 1:21 to play. Off the faceoff, Lundell. He'll clear for the Panthers out to center. And now a pass through center errantly from Gustafson. Stolen away. Here's Reinhardt in. Gives to Lundell an empty net shot that goes off the side of the goal. Then Reinhardt picks it up and he scores on the empty net. And the Panthers take a 6-3 lead. The fans make their way to the exits here in Washington. That's it for this one. And the Panthers bounce back and get a big win tonight over the Washington Capitals. And they equal the point total of the Capitals now as they continue a pursuit of a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. A big 6-3 win for the Panthers here in Washington tonight.
That back on Thursday, a 6-3 Panthers win in Washington. Yesterday, after the Panthers practiced here in Nashville, had a chance to catch up with Panthers head coach Paul Maurice. Here's what he had to say about that victory in Washington.
Well, going into it, you know it is, and resonated in the room. We got stronger as that game went on. From the first 10 to the end of the second period, we were a pretty good hockey team. But you feel it on the bench every play. The guys are chirping, talking. They're wired for the game, and we've had a couple of... We go back to the Boston game, I think, and into Tampa and into that one. There's been some really important big wins that we've had that I think The great part is you get to keep that. That's where confidence is built. The next big game that we have, well, for us, it's going to be all of them. But the next big game that you play against the team you're fighting with, you bring a confidence to those games.
And you mentioned a couple of those games, and you mentioned being able to keep that. Just in terms of the, I guess, the sense of belief that it can generate among the group, do you feel that as soon as they step on the ice?
It keeps you from being tentative on the ice, I think. And the fear of making a mistake disappears. You start thinking about doing something good. So Mark Stahl's going to be shooting that puck tomorrow. Whitey's going to be thinking he can make a play in that situation. They pull the goalie. We'll have some confidence in our ability to execute. I know we gave up two, but I think we've given up three goals on our last two PK shots. So we've been pretty darn good on our PK. So it builds the confidence that you can excel, and it keeps that feeling of tentative hockey out.
And an individual to ask you about, a guy who spent some time playing here in Nashville, Nick Cousins, has number 500 coming up tomorrow. Yeah. And just in terms of the energy and the emotion that he can bring to the ice, he's one of those guys where his contributions don't always show up in the box score, but he can be very valuable.
He's one of those guys that's around the room in the middle of just about every joke and every chirp. And then he's got an energy on the bench and in the games, and he makes some plays. You know, he's not just a kind of a grinder style. He's got some hands on him. So one of those guys that becomes part of the group that's real important to you.
And on Nick Cousins, who Paul Maurice was just talking about, let's go to hearing from Nick Cousins on playing his 500th game here in Nashville today.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's funny how it's back in Nashville. Obviously, I spent some time here and really enjoyed playing here. So really excited for tomorrow. It's a big road trip for us. We're 2-1 on this road trip, so we have a chance to make it a great road trip, and it's a fun building to play in. So, they're fighting for their lives over there as well, so it should be a real fun, energetic matchup.
What's it meant, the success you guys have had really since the turn of the new year, just in terms of developing that rhythm that you guys have been able to find and just seeing the positive results? What's it all meant for the team overall as you build for the final push?
Yeah, no, I think the last month or so, 6 weeks, we've kind of dug ourselves out of the hole that we put ourselves in, and we're getting key contributions from everyone. I think special teams power plays really picked it up here as of late. I think Bob's really playing well. He kind of grabbed the net, and he's playing some of his best hockey of the season, and we're just a lot more confident group. I think we're playing a little bit more stingier defensively. We're not giving up that much off the rush. We're not turning pucks over at the blue line anymore. And with that, it's resulted in, a lot more consistency, more wins, and should set ourselves up for the last 24 games and make it a lot of fun.
Yeah, you touched on it a little bit, but is there a little bit of extra juice you feel when you come back into a building that you used to call home? Any time you can do that?
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. I know a lot of guys over there. Some guys I still keep in contact with, some real good friends over there. So, I was fortunate enough to play here in the preseason just to kind of get that out of the way. But, obviously it's a regular season. It's a different ball game. But, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a little bit weird for sure, the first period. But once we get past that, it should be a lot of fun facing these guys.
Panthers forward Nick Cousins right there. Big game for him and his Panthers teammates coming up today in Nashville, 2 o'clock Eastern, 1:30 Panthers preview on the Radio Network. Lots more still to come here on Panthers Insider. We'll revisit a recent episode of the Panthers Pipeline podcast with Panthers prospect Jakob Kos coming up later on in the hour. But next, Jamison Olive from FloridaPanthers.com is going to stop by. He and I are going to talk about the week that was and preview today's game in Nashville. That's coming up straight ahead, folks. Doug Plagan's with you. This is the Panthers Insider Show right here.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always. Panthers getting set to take on the Nashville Predators this afternoon. It's going to be a 2 o'clock Eastern time face-off. 1:30, we'll have you covered with Panthers preview across the radio network to get you started. So the Panthers and the Predators coming up here this afternoon. And it's the end of a 4-game road trip for the Panthers. And interestingly enough, after this one today, it's all Eastern time zone for the Panthers the rest of the season. So we can
and talk about how that comes into the mix, among other things, with Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, kind enough to stop by the Panthers Insider Show. You hear him in the second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast. You see his stuff on FloridaPanthers.com. You hear him on the Territory Talk podcast. But, Jameson, I feel like it's been a minute since we've had you here on the Panthers Insider Show. How are things?
I've been on the outside for quite a while here. No, it's good to be back on the Insider Show here. Listen every week, always hoping to get the call, so I'm happy I'm back here, called into the big leagues. But no, things are good. I mean, obviously right now, an exciting time for the Panthers. I think we saw this push coming a mile away a long time ago, because even earlier in the season when things weren't going well in the win-loss column, all the underlying numbers were good. It just seemed like things were just a little off. Some pieces had to be moved around. A couple guys that were cold had to get hot, things like that. So this was always a pretty darn good team, and obviously with a ton of star players, but they just needed things to kind of fall into place, and it seems like this past 6, 7, 8 weeks, things have fallen into place. Now here they are, you know, 2 months left, right in the thick of things.
We'll talk about that game in Washington a couple of nights ago here in just a moment and preview the game in Nashville, but when you look back, is it somewhat surprising that this team really did find its rhythm, find its groove during what a lot of people would have said was the toughest part of the schedule, during that month of January? It seemed like things really started to click. They got some positive results, and they saw those results, and it seemed like things just started to snowball. And now that we've had some time to digest it, that win against Boston really did go a long way, it seems.
Yeah, maybe we'll look back at as the turning point. It seems like there's probably at least 6 games you could look back in the last 2 months and say, yeah, that kind of felt like the turning point, because a couple individual guys have had turning points. You look at Bobrovsky, you know, him coming in to that game in Winnipeg in relief. I mean, Paul Maurice points to that all the time, is when he kind of thought he turned it around. A couple other guys have individual turnaround points, but maybe as a team, that win over Boston, I mean, after that game, that's when all the guys were saying, you know, if we can beat them, we can beat anyone. What are we doing here? Let's, you know, keep our foot on the gas. And they've been fantastic ever since. And they were good before that. But like you said, the schedule was just so brutal in January. Honestly, maybe I've been around this team maybe 10 years or so at this point. That might have been the most brutal month in terms of a schedule I can remember, just with the travel and the weird kind of coming home for one game, then hitting the road again. So for the Cats to get through that, and, you know, Mark Stahl used the term, you know, keep their head above water during that stretch, was huge. And I think that Boston game, though, I think that's when they really started to believe even more. And when I think the NHL as a whole kind of looked at the Cats and said, okay, maybe these guys really are as good as we think they are.
Yeah, they're still obviously a very good team in that room. And right now we are seeing them starting to surge. And that's why I said at the All-Star break, they didn't need to necessarily be in a playoff spot. Just get in position to make a push. And as I mentioned right off the top, they don't have to leave the Eastern time zone after this game in Nashville today. It's a lot easier to travel north-south in your own time zone than go east-west across different time zones. They also, after this game in Nashville today, they're only going to have 8 regular season road games left. We know how well this team plays consistently on home ice. They've been able to really get the ball going at FLA Live Arena. So I think you factor in all that, it seems like the guys know, too, the schedule's going to lighten up a little bit. I know those games in hand are going to have to even out. The other teams across the league, you look at the standings, you know, how does Buffalo have 4 fewer games played? Pittsburgh, 4 fewer, you know, we've been looking at those things. Next week, seems like things are going to start to even out. Panthers with some light weeks coming up, but it seems like all this schedule-wise can really play into their advantage as well.
It can, and you look at, you know, the teams that are around them in the standings. You look at the Capitals, Penguins, Islanders, Sabres, even the Red Wings now. I think they won 5 in a row at this point, so they're right back in it as well. But so many of those teams are going to beat up on each other, you know, throughout these last 2 months. Panthers have a lot of head-to-head matchups with those teams remaining as well. Another one against the Caps, which is going to be huge later in the season. So at this point, can you say the Panthers are in control of their own destiny? No, because there are a couple teams that have, like you said, 3 or 4 games in hand, but they're pretty darn close. And, you know, we talked to Paul Maurice the other day, and he said, you know, the goal of January was to just, when January's done, be within 4 or so points of a playoff spot. And he said the goal of February is when it's done is just to be even right in a playoff spot. And then, you know, the goal for the last, you know, March/early April is going to be to make sure you do the best with those games in hand the other team have and just make up that ground. So for the Cats, you know, they're on track with where they want to be and where they need to get to, but they can't control what other teams do. But regardless, like I said, with the schedule, those teams are going to beat up on each other. It's best not to think about it. Just take care of your own business.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, here with us, and you mentioned a big game coming up near the end of the regular season with Washington. So why don't we go back to Thursday's game against the Capitals? What'd you like the most in that one, as the Panthers never trailed? Washington maybe saved their best for maybe too late in the game. They were already down 4-1 by the time it seemed like they They started to get a little bit of traction. They're a good team. You know, they're going to at some point find a way to get their chances, but the Panthers were able to weather that storm, won the game 6-3, a game that a lot of folks going into it said, and we're going to probably say this about a handful of games coming up, but at the time, the biggest game of the season to date was that game on Thursday, and the Panthers came out ready to play, and they were rewarded with a regulation win.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. It was the biggest game of the season, and they treated it as such. They treated that like Game 7. They came out hard. Great first period, tons of jump. You know, Gustav Forsling getting that opening goal to kind of relieve some of that pressure is huge, because we've seen this season in particular, the first goal in all these games has been so huge for the Panthers. So for them to get that was huge. And then for the guys that got the goals after that, you know, Mark Stahl getting his first of the season, Colin White getting back in the lineup, getting a huge, beautiful backhand goal off a nice feed from Anton Lundell. We know what Tkachuk can do. We know what Barkov can do. We'll get to Barkov in a second. But for those guys to step up in a game like that, that's even bigger. So for the Cats, the depth scoring was there. Top to bottom, everyone was contributing. Not a single passenger in that game. Defensively, all the defensemen were looking sharp. So many big pass breakups. So many, you know, the physicality along the boards. A lot of big hits. So for the Cats, I think just the mentality that they showed in that game is what's really impressive. But in terms of individuals, I just mentioned it right there. Alexander Barkov, of course, that goal to make it 4-1, I think that was the real dagger. You know, you head into the second intermission, you know, a two-goal cushion, you feel okay, but the Caps feel like they can get back in the game at that point. But a three-goal cushion with 20 minutes left to play, absolutely massive. You know, a no-look laser from Barkov. Not a lot of guys in the world can score that goal. And then just taking a step back, looking at all the underlying numbers. He dominated the possession game. He was an absolute force out there for the Cats. So for the captain to have a game like that in the biggest game of the season was absolutely massive. And you mentioned the Caps getting back into it, but the Panthers, I don't think, were really ever in danger. A couple softish calls there that gave the Caps some power plays in the third period. You're not going to see those in the playoffs. They capitalized on the power play. And at that point, the Panthers, they had it locked in. So for the Cats, never really threatened that game, never trailed, like you said. And if they can bring that same energy and treat the rest of these games going forward just like that, they're going to be just fine.
You mentioned underlying numbers, and the eye test says that Sergei Bobrovsky's been really good, but especially against Washington and in a number of the games lately, as he's been on this nice individual run. The high danger chances, I know that's something a lot of folks point to, but he has been outstanding as far as those are concerned.
Yeah, no, he was perfect. Didn't allow a single one against the Capitals. But the number, I keep just adding up these numbers every single day. And since he's been back, you know, let's not forget, yes, he came back from the All-Star break, but he also was injured. He came back from injury as well. Got injured on January 19th against Montreal, that lower body injury. So since he's been back, which just so happened to coincide with that first game out of the break, 64 of 67 on high danger shots, which is just a ridiculous number. And like you said, the eye test complements that as well. We see those high danger shots. We see those rebounds he's kicking out. We see those second and third chances he's gobbling up, the breakaway attempts he's been stopping, the two-on-ones he's been surviving. So he's in the zone. You know, Paul Maurice said he looks younger. And when, of course, younger Sergei Bobrovsky is the two-time Vezina Trophy winning Sergei Bobrovsky. Bob was asked about that after the game against Washington. He laughed and said he'll take it as a compliment, but he really has. I mean, he's turned back the clock. Not that he's old by any means, but he looks like the guy that won those.
I was going to say, if he's old, this is really dating us.
We're very old in that case. But no, he looks like the guy that won those two Vezina trophies. He looks like a guy that's ready to really carry the workload here. And, you know, after that practice in Nashville, that optional skate on Friday, you know, Paul Maurice said when we asked him about goaltending, you know, they're going to ride the hot hand. Of course, right now, Sergei Bobrovsky's red hot. But he also said, you look back at that back to back. You know, that start of the trip, that win in Minnesota, they rested him, gave Nider the net in St. Louis. They said that was intentional because that was kind of maybe one of the real last, you know, workload roadblocks that Bob might face here. And if he stays hot the rest of the way, the schedule, like we've said, shapes up to where he can play a lot of hockey, something he's used to doing. So if he stays hot, the Cats are going to keep riding him, and maybe we're going to get that vintage Sergei that really does put the team on his back and carries this team all the way to the playoffs. So he's been spectacular, and when you look at all the things that have come together to help the Panthers get back in the playoff race, he's been just a massive part.
Two more before we let you get going here. Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, here with us. And Nick Cousins, we talked to him yesterday after the Panthers' optional practice there, and a guy whose impacts aren't always measurable on a box score, but he certainly does make an impact in hockey games. He's gotten some great chemistry going with Eric Staal, Ryan Lomberg throughout the year. Paul Maurice talked about that, but I also thought it was so refreshing. He joined us on the Territory Talk podcast. This was had to be, what, 6-8 weeks ago, something like that. And Nick Cousins had the date circled on the calendar that game number 500 in his National Hockey League career was going to be coming up today in Nashville. And, of course, this would be a game he'd probably have circled scheduled on the calendar anyways, because he used to be a member of the Nashville Predators. But again, for Nick Cousins, he flat out said he doesn't take a day for granted, the NHL, and he looks forward to these kind of milestones, being able to skate in a 500th game. These are things that he's always been excited to accomplish. So I thought that was great to hear, and great now that this game is coming when he projected it to, in a place, Nashville, that he used to call home once upon a time. What can you say about his impact and just sensing that excitement from him? We knew, talking to him on that episode of Territory Talk, this was a date that he was really looking forward to.
And we love that, because so many times we'll be in the locker room post game and we'll talk to a guy and we'll say, hey, this was, you know, number 300 for you. And they'll say, oh, really? It was. So it's great that, you know, this is such a big game for him and something that he's worked so hard for. And that's what it is. It's just a culmination of a lifetime of hard work. So, you know, you work to get into the NHL and make your debut. When you get to 100, you say, you know, I made a mark here. But when you get to 500, he's only 29. But at that point, you can say, I've had a career in the NHL. This was something special. Got a lot of big games left for him. But at this point, just, you know, 29 years old, 500 games. Just it's a massive accomplishment. You know, he deserves all the praise in the world because he's been a great get for the Panthers. He's obviously great in the locker room for the stuff fans don't see, for, you know, the chirps and the energy he brings to the room, whether it's practice, whether it's on the bus, whether it's, you know, in a game on the bench. We see it a lot closer than most, and it's massive, and guys really do feed off that. And of course, I mean, 19 points in 55 games, that's great in a bottom six role. Like you said, him, Eric Staal, Ryan Lomberg. There's been some movement, of course, with guys coming in and out in the bottom six, but if you can get to playoff time and your fourth line can be, you know, Lomberg, Staal, Cousins, that's a brutally great fourth line and a tough matchup for any opponent. So, and that's another reason the Panthers brought him in. You know, let's not forget, he's been in the playoffs the past 2 years with the Predators. He's a guy that you feel like, he just looks like a guy where if you look at him and you say, you know what, if there's like a game six, third period, and you need a goal, you kind of feel like maybe Nick Cousins is the guy to get that goal. He's kind of got that aura about him, that big goal aura in big moments. So, for him to get this, you know, in Nashville, you know, where he spent the last two seasons before joining the Panthers, still knows a ton of guys at the other end of the ice, was in the playoffs here last year, like I mentioned. It's a great moment and just well-deserved, a guy that really has put in a lot of hard work.
Yeah, excited to see him hit the ice here this afternoon. And I guess in mentioning that last thing here, Jameson, looking at this one, last game of a long trip for the Panthers. You always have the matinee game factor. Sometimes matinee games, people love them, but you don't always know what you're going to get out of matinee games. The games can get wacky sometimes when they're played in the afternoon, and it causes everybody's schedule to deviate. You look at the game against Washington, for example. You had two teams, same conference, a history together with the Panthers and the Capitals. Both teams had a lot at stake. This one today, two teams in different conferences. Nashville, this could be their last gasp for air as far as a playoff push is concerned. They really can't afford to fall much further behind than they already are. So there could be some desperation there. We know what every 2 points means to the Panthers. You throw all that together in a blender, and what do you expect here this afternoon against Nashville?
That's just it. I don't know what to expect. Every team knows what they want to do going into a game like this. The Panthers know how big a game this is. They know exactly what they want to do. Like you said, the Predators right now, I think 5 or so points out of a playoff spot, of a wild card spot. So they're fading. Like you said, if they lose this game, it might be it, especially as we get closer to the trade deadline. So this could be this next couple weeks, they're looking at every game like it's the season. Whereas the Panthers, they definitely do know all these games are important, but there still is a little bit of wiggle room. But that being said, the Panthers really want these 2 points. They know how big this is heading back home. That first game against Anaheim, you know, back at FLA Live Arena, yes, it's Anaheim, but at the same time, the first game back from a road trip, just like we're saying now, an afternoon game to close out a road trip, sometimes you have to throw out expectations because you never know what can happen. So for the Cats, it's going to come down to, I think, maybe what happened in Washington, where they just need that first period. They need to come out, assert their dominance. If they can come out and kind of crush the will of the Predators, maybe go up by a goal or two in the first period, there's probably some people on that Predators team that say, I'm getting traded in a couple weeks anyway, let's pack it in. So for the Cats, come out, dominate the first, see what can happen. And especially at this point now, like we've said, just give Bob just enough help. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to let in more than 2-3 goals in a game. And we know the Panthers can score 4 goals in a game easily. So for the Cats, they have the recipe. They just got to go out and execute.
Yeah, you feel all right right now, especially with what Sergei Bobrovsky's been able to do. If Panthers can come up with 3 goals in a game, they're at least getting a point out of that and probably getting 2. So the way he's been playing. Jameson Aull, FloridaPanthers.com. Kind enough to stop by here today. We'll talk to you in the second intermission. Enjoy the Panthers and the Predators this afternoon.
Oh, can't wait. Thanks, Doug.
Jameson Hall, FloridaPanthers.com, here with us. Remember, the Panthers and the Predators today, 2 Eastern, 1:30 Panthers preview on the radio network. Then we're back home Monday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. And then Friday against Buffalo at 7, and then the Panthers don't play next Saturday and Sunday. So you wondered, when were those games in hand that the other teams have? When were those going to start to even out? Well, they're going to start to even out coming up here over the next couple of weeks, with the Panthers having a relatively light schedule and predominantly on home ice. Coming up next, we will revisit a recent episode of the Panthers Pipeline podcast. Jameson and I, you just heard from Jameson Olive, we had a chance to catch up with Panthers prospect Jakob Kaas. So we're going to get to that coming up on the other side of the break. It's the Panthers and the Predators coming up this afternoon at 2. Big thanks, Jameson Olive, once again for stopping by. I'm Doug Plagans. This is Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you. Thanks again, Jameson Olive, for stopping by the last segment. You know, Jameson from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast. You can also hear him in the second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast. Panthers and the Nashville Predators coming your way this afternoon, 2 Eastern, 1:30 Panthers preview across the radio network. So join us for that. Panthers wrapping up a four-game trip, looking for a third win in four games on the trip. Then it's back home, 1 o'clock Monday afternoon against Anaheim, 7 o'clock Friday night against Buffalo at FLA Live Arena, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets for the upcoming Panthers action at FLA Live Arena. This segment, want to take a look back at a recent episode of the Panthers Pipeline podcast, where we chat with Panthers prospects. Jameson Olive and I were joined by Panthers sixth-round pick back in 2021, 19-year-old Jakob Kaas, playing professionally over in Finland currently. Let's get to that conversation. We've got one of the Panthers prospects joining us here, kind enough to stop by here on Panthers Pipeline. Panthers sixth-round pick in 2021, coming off a great tournament for Czechia in the World Juniors. Jakob Kaas here with us. Jakob, thank you very much for stopping by this morning. Afternoon where you are over there currently in Finland here on Panthers Pipeline.
Yeah, hello. Thank you, too.
Well, the first thing I got to ask you, as we said, it's been an eventful season here for you, but first you have been with Team Czechia now in the last two World Junior tournaments. You guys got to that final game. You got a silver medal this time around. You had some big moments in the tournament as well. Overall, how valuable and how fun was that tournament for you and for your country?
Yeah, it was amazing tournament. Like, we had amazing group there, group of people, the coaches, like the staff, like all the people who was there. It was like one of the best 4 weeks like in my life, so that's amazing moments in that 4 weeks, and of course we bring the medal, so like that's amazing.
Before we get to this past tournament, what was it like just having two tournaments so close together? You were over in the World Juniors, the makeup tournament in the summer, and then suddenly you're right back at it in December and January here. Just what was that like, that whole process? I'm sure a lot going on for you.
Yeah, it was like kind of weird, but also it was good, because almost everybody who was in that December tournament had like experience from that summer tournament. So I think it helped us like also that for our team, that summer tournament. So I would say that it was positive for us.
And clearly it helped, because you guys did go from that tournament to, like you said, getting silver in this last tournament. For yourself, the game tying goal in the gold medal game to get it to overtime, which I know everyone just was so happy it went to overtime, because everyone wants more World Junior Hockey. Just talk us through that goal. What was that moment like, and how many times have you watched it since you scored it?
Yeah, I watched it many times. That's for sure. But like, I don't know. It was. Yeah, of course it was lucky goal. But in the final, like, I don't care what goal like I will score. So, but yeah, it was one of the maybe best feeling what I ever had, like tied goal, and like everything was open, and I think in that moment, like to the end of the game, we was overplaying like Canada, so we could score that third goal. But yeah, like tough loss in the overtime, but yeah, that goal was amazing.
Well, we have to say congratulations. You got the silver medal. And it seems like hockey in Czechia is really on the rise quite a bit. I know there have been a lot of big time NHL players and global hockey figures who've come out of Czechia, going all the way back to, you know, Dominik Hasek and the Olympic gold back in 98 and everything like that. But, you know, over recent years, it seems like Czechia is on the rise. And you got a Czech here with the Panthers, too, in Radko Gudas. But looking at just the general scope of hockey in Czechia, what's been the biggest factor, I guess, the rise in the talent level that you've seen recently?
I don't know how I would say this now, but yeah, I think there's a lot of talented guys right now, like the 04, 05, 03s, like every year 04s, everybody have like in that category some talented players. So like I hope that the Czechia will rise and will bring more medals in the next years. So yeah, I would say that also we can have a lot of success in the future.
And Jakub, who's been your favorite hockey player growing up?
Growing up, I have to say Jaromír Jágr. Like I was watching that all the time. Like I have to say that.
And Jakub, on that, how much of Jágr did you watch when he was with the Panthers? Because you're still a young guy. I'm sure that was pretty fun watching him here.
Yeah. Of course. I remember that he was playing, and I was always seeing that. That videos from that locker room and how he was living like close to the arena, this kind of stuff. So yeah, I remember this.
I know Doug and I both remember those days really well, and he was just a larger than life figure. And all the stories you've heard about him are all true. He's just that amazing. So looking back at Czechia, like Doug was saying, this was your guys' first medal since 2005 at the World Juniors. What's the buzz like over in Czechia? We're obviously over here. We don't know what's going on, but what are things like back home there? And just, did you get any interesting phone calls, anything like that after you won the silver?
Yeah. Like it was peak. Like everybody was watching the games. Like, I don't know how much people watched that semifinal game because it was with the good time in the Czech. So I think maybe a million people watched that game, and like, everybody was talking about that. Like even, yeah, I have that funny, like my parents were saying to me, like they was texting like so many people that they don't even know that, yeah, congratulations, I'm watching the games. Like it was like really everybody was watching the games.
And I guess just in terms of that, we wanted to get to know a little bit more about you growing up. What was life like in Czechia? And I hope we're saying the name of your hometown correctly. Krim, are we pronouncing it correctly? Yeah. So tell us what kind of city that is.
Yeah, Kuzim. It's like, yeah, it's 11,000 like city. It's not big, but there's it's like I was living there whole life. I was like going to the trainings to Brno. It's like 15 minutes with the car. So like my mom have to always like pick me at the school, so she have to drive me there. It was kind of like hard the years when I was still young, but then it was just I always remember it the good way. And I always, when I'm in summer, I always coming back there, and I have friends there, and also of course family, and I always like to like come there back.
And you talk about that when you are back home. You said it's a small town, 11,000 people. What do you do when you are back home and you're not playing hockey? What's for fun in Kirim?
If I would be like straight, there's like new hockey rink, first like hockey rink in that city. There was never before, and actually that like my dad's friend owns that, so I like always can go on the ice. So it's like kind of fun. I can go with there with my friends and my family. So yeah, and there's also like handball and everything, like sports center is there. So it's like many sport things what we can do there.
And when you read about Czechia, all you read about is castles and the landscapes. Are there castles in Kirim? Is there fun places to visit for tourists, things like that?
Yeah, I think there's one castle, but I don't know.
There's castles everywhere. That's all you hear about for Czechia.
Everywhere, like you don't know where everywhere is it.
Was there another sport growing up other than hockey, maybe, that you played a lot?
Yeah, of course. There is soccer and hockey. There's like two big sports. And now, like, there is MMA a lot. Yeah. A lot of this kind of stuff, a lot. So there's like hockey, soccer, and MMA, the district things. There's like a lot of popular, and like I think also that Czech people are like they like to watch sport. So like every big thing what is in Czech, like everybody's watching that and they are like talking about that. So that's the good thing about Czech.
And for you, as you've gone along in your hockey career, doing what a lot of guys around the world in different leagues, doesn't matter where they are, what a lot of guys do, and that's move away from home. And what's that experience been like for you now playing in Finland where you are?
Yeah, I'm here like almost 4 years, so that's kind of like a lot. But yeah, it's like I didn't get the question, but
well, what's life like been like, and how's it been adjusting to moving away from Czechia, going to play in another country?
Yeah, like I would say it was just normal. Like I went to Finland play because of hockey. So I'm here 4 years and I like that here. Like I'm playing hockey here. Everything is fine. Like pretty cold sometimes, not like in Miami right now, Florida. So yeah, but yeah, it's nice here.
And Doug and I, of course, we've been to Finland with the Panthers back in the day. We have a lot of Finns here on the Panthers. The biggest thing there is, of course, the saunas, sauna culture. Have you adopted that? Are you a big sauna guy now?
Yeah, I am. Like when I was living like in the last apartment, I had sauna there. Always when I had the free time, I always went to sauna and like just chilling there. And it's, yeah, the friends was coming and it was just fun.
And you look at, of course, where you are now, like we said, you're playing over in Finland. Over the past couple of seasons, you have played quite a few games in Liga, the top league over there. When you've been in Liga, what have you just learned about what you need to do to take that next step? Because, of course, you're still only just 19 years old.
Yeah, it's all about, like, get the strength, get the speed with the puck, and just work on yourself every day on the training and do extra training. That's all about.
And Jakob, I want to go back a little bit to when you were drafted by the Panthers. What was it like to find out that you had your name called at the NHL draft and you were selected by the Panthers? And now how much day to day do you follow the Panthers and how their season is going?
Yeah. It was like how I said, it was amazing feeling to get see my name. And I remember that like a lot from that day. So that was amazing. But yeah, of course I am following Panthers a lot. I am when I have that time when we have here that games are going in the evening, of course, always when Florida is playing, I'm watching that games. So yeah, I'm following Panthers pretty much.
And on that, you finally got to come to Florida. Obviously, there was a couple of COVID years, but we got back to normal this past summer. You got to come here for D camp and got to experience South Florida. Just what was that like for you? I know you guys, we were there. You guys did so much fun stuff. You did the on ice, you did the off ice, you went to the beach, you did cooking. Just what sticks out to you from that trip?
Yeah. It was so great trip. I remember that a lot of good stuff from that. Yeah. I was first time in USA. So that was like kind of first thing I know. In the Miami and in like Florida, it was just like amazing trip. I enjoyed a lot with the guys, and like the program was great. We was doing so many fun things. So yeah, of course.
And your guys' hotel was right there on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Just what was it like waking up with the guys and just walking out to the ocean every day?
Yeah, how I said, it was I don't know how to say it was just perfect. I don't know.
But now that you've been here once, I mean, this is a part of your routine now. You're going to keep coming back every summer for camps. Just how excited are you to, now that you've been here, to come back?
Yeah, of course. I want to come back like right away. When it's going to be.
Well, I know we're excited to be able to see you again here stateside. I guess the last thing for me here, Jakob, kind of a basic question, but
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you. Thanks again, Jameson Olive, for stopping by last segment. You know, Jameson from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast. You can also hear him in the second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast. Panthers and the Nashville Predators coming your way this afternoon, 2 Eastern, 1:30 Panthers preview across the radio network. So join us for that. Panthers wrapping up a four-game trip, looking for a third win in four games on the trip. Then it's back home, 1 o'clock Monday afternoon against Anaheim, 7 o'clock Friday night against Buffalo at FLA Live Arena, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets for the upcoming Panthers action at FLA Live Arena. This segment, want to take a look back at a recent episode of the Panthers Pipeline podcast where we chat with Panthers prospects. Jameson Olive and I were joined by Panthers sixth-round pick back in 2021, 19-year-old Jakob Kos, playing professionally over in Finland currently. Let's get to that conversation. We've got one of the Panthers prospects joining us here, kind enough to stop by here on Panthers Pipeline. Panthers sixth-round pick in 2021, coming off a great tournament for Czechia in the World Juniors. Jakob Kos here with us. Jakob, thank you very much for stopping by this morning. Afternoon where you are over there currently in Finland here on Panthers Pipeline.
Yeah, hello. Thank you, too.
Well, the first thing I got to ask you, as we said, it's been an eventful season here for you, but first you have been with Team Czechia now in the last two World Junior tournaments. You guys got to that final game. You got a silver medal this time around. You had some big moments in the tournament as well. Overall, how valuable and how fun was that tournament for you and for your country?
Yeah, it was amazing tournament. Like, we had amazing group there, a group of people, the coaches, like the staff, like the all the people who was there. It was like one of the best 4 weeks like in my life, so that's amazing moments in that 4 weeks, and of course we bring the medal, so like that's amazing.
Before we get to this past tournament, what was it like just having two tournaments so close together? You were over in the World Juniors, the makeup tournament in the summer, and then suddenly you're right back at it in December and January here. Just what was that like, that whole process? I'm sure a lot going on for you.
Yeah, it was like kind of weird, but also it was good because almost everybody who was in that December tournament had like experience from that summer tournament. So I think it helped us like also that for our team that summer tournament. So I would say that it was positive for us.
And clearly it helped because you guys did go from that tournament to, like you said, getting silver in this last tournament. For yourself, the game tying goal in the gold medal game to get it to overtime, which I know everyone just was so happy it went to overtime because everyone wants more World Junior Hockey. Just talk us through that goal. What was that moment like, and how many times have you watched it since you scored it?
Yeah, I watched it many times. That's for sure. But like, I don't know. It was. Yeah, of course, it was lucky goal. But in the final, like, I don't care what goal like I will score. So, but yeah, it was one of the maybe best feeling what I ever had, like tied goal, and like everything was open, and I think in that moment, like to the end of the game, we was overplaying like Canada, so we could score that third goal. But yeah, like tough loss in the overtime, but yeah, that goal was amazing.
Well, we have to say congratulations. You got the silver medal. And it seems like hockey in Czechia is really on the rise quite a bit. I know there have been a lot of big-time NHL players and global hockey figures who've come out of Czechia, going all the way back to, you know, Dominik Hasek and the Olympic gold back in 98 and everything like that. But, you know, over recent years, it seems like Czechia is on the rise. And you got a Czech here with the Panthers, too, in Radko Gudas. But looking at just the general scope of hockey in Czechia, what's been the biggest factor, I guess, the rise in the talent level that you've seen recently?
I don't know how I would say this now, but yeah, I think there's a lot of talented guys right now, like the 04, 05, 03s, like every that like year 04s, everybody have like in that category some talented players. So like I hope that the Czechia will rise and will bring more medals in the next years. So yeah, I would say that also we can have a lot of success in the future.
And Jakob, who's been your favorite hockey player growing up?
Growing up? I have to say, Jaromir Jagr, like, I was watching that all the time. Like, I have to say that.
And Jakob, on that, how much of Jagr did you watch when he was with the Panthers? Because you're still a young guy. I'm sure that was pretty fun watching him here.
Yeah, of course. I remember that he was playing, and I was always seeing that videos from that locker room and how he was living like close to the arena, this kind of stuff. So yeah, I remember this.
I know Doug and I both remember those days really well, and he was just a larger than life figure. And all the stories you've heard about him are all true. He's just that amazing. So looking back at Czechia, like Doug was saying, this was your guys' first medal since 2005 at the World Juniors. What's the buzz like over in Czechia? We're obviously over here. We don't know what's going on, but what are things like back home there? And just, did you get any interesting phone calls, anything like that after you won the silver?
Yeah, like, it was big. Like, everybody was watching the games. Like, I don't know how much people watched that semifinal game, because it was with the good time in the Czech, so I think maybe a million people watched that game. And like, everybody was talking about that. Like, even, yeah, I have that funny, like, my parents were saying to me, like, they was texting like so many people that they don't even know that, yeah, congratulations, I'm watching the games. Like, it was like, really, everybody was watching the games.
And I guess just in terms of that, we wanted to get to know a little bit more about you growing up. What was life like in Czechia? And I hope we're saying the name of your hometown correctly. Krim, are we pronouncing it correctly? Yeah. So tell us what kind of city that is.
Yeah, Kuzim. It's like, yeah, it's 11,000 like city. It's not big, but it's like, I was living there whole life. I was like going to the trainings to Brno is like 15 minutes with the car. So like, my mom have to always like pick me at the school. So she have to drive me there. It was kind of like hard the years when I was still young, but then it was just, I always remember it the good way. And I always, when I'm in summer, I always coming back there, and I have friends there, and also of course family. And I always like to like come there back.
And you talk about that when you are back home. You said it's a small town, 11,000 people. What do you do when you are back home and you're not playing hockey? What's for fun in Kirim?
If I would be like straight, there's like new hockey rink. First like hockey rink in that city. There was never before. And actually that, like, my dad's friend owns that. So I like always can go on the ice. So it's like kind of fun. I can go with there with my friends and my family. So yeah. And there's also like handball and everything, like sports center is there. So it's like many sport things what we can do there.
And when you read about Czechia, all you read about is castles and the landscapes. Are there castles in Kirim? Is there fun places to visit for tourists, things like that?
Yeah, I think there's one castle, but I don't know.
There's castles everywhere.
Like, you don't know where everywhere is it.
Was there another sport growing up other than hockey, maybe, that you played a lot?
Yeah, of course. There is soccer and hockey. There's like two big sports. And now, like, there is MMA a lot of this kind of stuff, a lot. So there's like hockey, soccer, and MMA. The district things, there's like a lot of popular. And like, I think also that Czech people are like, they like to watch sport. So like every big thing what is in Czech, like everybody's watching that, and they are like talking about that. So that's the good thing about Czech.
And for you, as you've gone along in your hockey career, doing what a lot of guys around the world in different leagues, doesn't matter where they are, what a lot of guys do, and that's move away from home. And what's that experience been like for you now playing in Finland where you are?
Yeah, I'm here like almost 4 years, so that's kind of like a lot. But yeah, it's like, I didn't get the question, but
well, what's life like been like, and how's it been adjusting to moving away from Czechia, going to play in another country?
Yeah, like I would say it was just normal. Like, I went to Finland play because of hockey. So I'm here 4 years, and I like that here. Like, I'm playing hockey here. Everything is fine. Like, pretty cold sometimes. Not like in Miami right now, Florida. So yeah, but yeah, it's nice here.
And Doug and I, of course, we've been to Finland with the Panthers back in the day. We have a lot of Finns here on the Panthers. The biggest thing there is, of course, the saunas, sauna culture. Have you adopted that? Are you a big sauna guy now?
Yeah, I am. Like when I was living like in the last apartment, I had sauna there. Always when I had the free time, I always went to sauna and like just chilling there. And it's, yeah, the friends was coming and it was just fun.
And you look at, of course, where you are now, like we said, you're playing over in Finland. Over the past couple of seasons, you have played quite a few games in Liiga, the top league over there. When you've been in Liiga, what have you just learned about what you need to do to take that next step? Because, of course, you're still only just 19 years old.
Yeah, it's all about, like, get the strength, get the speed with the puck, and just work on yourself every day on the training and do extra training. That's all about.
And Jakob, I want to go back a little bit to when you were drafted by the Panthers. What was it like to find out that you had had your name called at the NHL draft and you were selected by the Panthers? And now how much day to day do you follow the Panthers and how their season is going?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like how I said, it was an amazing feeling to get to see my name. And I remember that like a lot from that day. So that was amazing, but yeah, of course I am following Panthers a lot. I am when I have that time when we have here that games are going in the evening. Of course, always when Florida is playing, I'm watching that games. So yeah, I'm following Panthers pretty much.
And on that, you finally got to come to Florida. Obviously, there was a couple of COVID years, but we got back to normal this past summer. You got to come here for D camp and got to experience South Florida. Just what was that like for you? I know you guys, we were there. You guys did so much fun stuff. You did the on ice, you did the off ice, you went to the beach, you did cooking. Just what sticks out to you from that trip?
Yeah. It was so great trip. I remember that a lot of good stuff from that. Yeah. I was first time in USA. So that was like kind of first thing I know. In the Miami and in like Florida, it was just like amazing trip. I enjoyed a lot with the guys, and like the program was great. We was doing so many fun things. So yeah, of course.
And your guys' hotel was right there on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Just what was it like waking up with the guys and just walking out to the ocean every day?
Yeah. How I said, it was I don't know how to say it, it was just perfect. I don't know.
But now that you've been here once, I mean, this is a part of your routine now. You're going to keep coming back every summer for camps. Just how excited are you to, now that you've been here, to come back?
Yeah, of course. I want to come back like right away. When it's going to be.
Well, I know we're excited to be able to see you again here stateside. I guess the last thing for me here, Jakob, kind of a basic question, but I know it's the middle of the afternoon. It looks like it's pretty dark there behind you, though. I know the sun goes down sort of early. What's the rest of your day like? What do you have going on the rest of the day?
It's like a pretty good question. Like I have now pretty much school in this week. I am ending like the first half of the school. So before this interview, I had the one test, and after this interview, I have another test. So that's my program for today.
Well, we wish you the best of luck on that. Certainly the best of luck on the rest of your season coming up. And it's been a lot of fun watching you play, watching your progress. And again, I know we're excited to see you back here again coming up over the summer. But Jakob Kaas, kind enough to stop by here with us on Panthers Pipeline. We thank you very much for your time. And like I said, best of luck in the rest of your season.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Big thanks to Jakob Kaas for stopping by the Panthers Pipeline podcast. Big thanks to Jameson Olive for joining us last segment. That about does it for this edition of Panthers Insider. Panthers and the Nashville Predators. Panthers wrapping up a road trip today to Eastern. 1:30 Panthers preview on the radio network. Panthers looking for a third win in four games on the trip, looking to continue their push for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Monday, Panthers back home against Anaheim at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then Friday, the Panthers are home against Buffalo at 7 o'clock at FLA Live Arena. FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Again, that about does it for us here today. We thank you very much for tuning in to the Panthers Insider Show. Again, big thanks, Jameson Olive, for joining us last segment. Thanks to Jakob Kaas for stopping by the Panthers Pipeline podcast. I'm Doug Plagans. This has been the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, The sports media podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.